This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Wheat. The price of wheat. Simon Constable, writing at Barron's and other distinguished publications, has for some weeks watched wheat and other commodities, soft commodities they're called, we eat them, because that is a way of tracking the inflation story that now dominates central bankers. Wheat is overbought, I read in a recent column by Simon at Barron's. Simon, a very good day to you in Edinburgh. Overbought, that's market talk for it's going to back up, it's going to go down. When you published this piece at Barron's, it was 12.25. Some days go by per bushel. Some days go by, and I understand it's lower now. Let us begin with what drove it to this skyrocketing price. A year ago in July, in 2021, it was $6 a bushel, and it touched 12.25 a bushel. Why, Simon? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. It hit there for a number of reasons. The biggest one of all of them was the invasion of Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia together produce and export 29% of the world's wheat. So, you know, they are major players, and clearly the war in Ukraine has disrupted the harvest, and everything else to do with it, about shipping out what could be harvested through the Black Sea, and that has cut supplies back dramatically. We've also had some fairly bad weather, and we also are now having some worries about bad weather. So that was why it went up. Why it's likely to go down is for a few reasons. One is those worries about bad weather continuing likely won't play out. One of the things that I wrote in the piece was that worries about Europe being dry or too dry for a wheat crop were probably over-egged a bit. And I went down to France over the weekend, and on the last day there was some fairly heavy sprinkles, intermittent heavy showers, which was very good for the region I was in, which was in Occitane. And that is going to be very good for the wheat crop and certainly take the edge off any worries about things. The other major issue with the wheat situation is that it's now becoming so expensive for people to get their nutrients from wheat at that price that it's highly likely that people will switch to rice instead, which is far cheaper. And there's a lot of it about, and it's historically quite cheap as well. So you're going to see that sort of shift in people saying, okay, you know, let's leave the wheat for somebody else and we'll eat the rice instead. And you can get a 100-pound bag for, you know, not much money compared to what you would get a bushel of wheat. So that's a good thing. And then there are other incentives too, that we're likely going to see farmers planting more wheat because it's profitable to do so. So there's a lot of factors going on here, and we could see it go down quite dramatically.
I want to review the weather part, because the drought is worldwide. You note that peak wheat each year is in May. So in some ways, we could say that we're experiencing a normal peak. It's just a very high peak compared to what it would have been a year ago.
And absolutely. Absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
Are the rains enough to mitigate this concern about the war, Simon? Because we now have news that Russia is blockading the Ukraine wheat fleet. Also, there's the matter of Ukraine having seeded mines in all of the ports so heavily that it's impossible safely to get the wheat crop out. So that concern seems profound, especially for parts of the world that depend upon Black Sea wheat. I'm thinking of Egypt and the Horn of Africa. So in your measure at Barron's, you're talking globally, not regionally. There will be wheat shortages. Is that correct?
Well, there will be a shortage of affordable wheat, absolutely, and that will certainly affect North Africa. One of the things about prices is that they naturally ration it. So, if you know, some people won't be able to afford as much wheat as they would have been able to this time last year, and that will likely be North Africa. And that could be very problematic. I mean, it's something we've talked about before. But if we go back to the Arab Spring of 2011, that was sparked off by high wheat prices and people not being able to afford to buy food for their family. And then we got this mass uprising. There is a worry that that could happen again, and that wouldn't be nice. And no one wants to see anyone else go hungry. Because it would not be good.
Because it's barons, Simon goes on to explain how soft commodity traders can approach a possibility of wheat declining. Now, Simon, this is technical language, but I do enjoy it. You buy five rice contracts, and then you sell two wheat contracts. Do I say that correctly?
Yes, yes, you did for the same month, and then you expect the two prices to converge in some way. Now, this doesn't matter if rice goes up and wheat goes up, as long as rice goes up more than wheat does. So you get the pressure of the two aligning. So rice becomes less cheap than it is now, and wheat becomes, you know, a little less expensive relative to the price of rice. So yeah, it works, and it's a fairly good trade with relatively minimal risk because they tend to mean revert, is what they say on Wall Street. There's a mean reversion to the mean.
I want to flag the fact that I listened to Simon's recommendation on what to buy and what not to buy in the face of potential oil shortages or oil spikes late last year. And Simon wrote a column for Barron's recommending unhedged oil purchases. Unhedged, meaning companies that profit when oil is higher and do not profit when oil is lower. And there was nothing ironic about it. I just tested it out at the time. And Simon's recommendation was a good one. Of course, the market followed it as well. And I later found that Warren Buffett, no less a luminary than Warren Buffett, was following the same trail. So there are no secrets here, Simon. That's what I've learned about trading commodities. The conventional wisdom is almost always rewarded.
Absolutely it is. And the commodities markets are not looked at as closely as many other markets like the stock market. And so you do have an advantage in being in the commodities markets, because it's just really not monitored quite as closely. And that obviously that's great for you. I do not buy or trade what I write about. So what you've got there is great, and you bought some of that, and it went up, and I'm really happy.
Me and Buffett.
And Warren too.
Me and Buffett. Yes, of course. Now, there is something that we can't trade away. This is the potential of a rail strike. Quite profound when it comes to Scotland, of course, because you'll be short in the grocery stores and at the petrol stations. The headlines are daunting. Fears over freight supplies to power stations, supermarkets, if unions vote for industrial action. Is this pending, Simon, or is this a scare headline out of London?
Well, I think it's probably both. It is a scary headline out of London, and there is worries that we have power outages. And I think that's all, you know, the number one thing that everyone's worried about is the electricity will not be there. It reminds me of my childhood in the 1970s in England, not in Scotland, and it was pretty awful, you know, having your lights go out because someone was on strike. What it is that the transport and maritime workers union are basically saying they have not getting enough pay raises, and they're sick of working on their days off because of a lack of labor. You know, I feel their pain, but inflicting pain on the rest of the country will not be good. So we are worried about that. I hope it's averted. It isn't done till it's done. So hopefully they don't do that. Hopefully they can get a deal they're happy with.
Let's have a little happiness right at the close. The weather in May in Edinburgh, has it moderated? Do you have clear days?
Yes, today is very clear. Went outside, saw the sun. I was very happy with that. It's not as bright as in France, but it was very nice. Only a minor sprinkle, you know, so far today, a very light one. And it was absolutely lovely. Got to have the sun on my face, put my sunglasses on, you know, walk down the street in shorts. Lovely. What's not to love?
Note that Simon just gave an example of the, what you'd have to say, contest between Great Britain and France for several centuries. No matter how good the weather in England, or Scotland, it's always possible to say, well, it's not as good as France, but Simon Constable, writing for Barron's and other distinguished publications, in Clear as a Bell, Scotland, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.